What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And today our topic is something that's been one of the most requested topics we've ever had.
Absolutely. And it's also the Patreon winner topic.
Yeah.
So for chances to vote on what we discuss on the show, you can sign up for patreon.com/selfhelpless.
Yeah, we're talking about depression today. So God knows we've got a lot to say about that.
Sure do. I feel like we've sprinkled in depression and almost throughout like every episode,
but we
haven't devoted an entire episode to it.
Yeah, so we'll be getting into the meat of that later.
Yes.
But we have a quotable.
Oh, yes. We have a couple quotables.
Smorgasbord.
Somebody posted in the group, but it was a Zach Galifianakis quote.
Nice.
And it says, "Destroy the idea that you have to be constantly working or grinding in order to be successful. Embrace the concept that rest, recovery, reflection are essential parts of the progress towards a successful and happy life."
Aww.
Zach Galifianakis.
I love that. That was from Lisa GCU.
Boom.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah.
Love me some Zach G quotes.
I know. Where's he at? I haven't seen him.
He's resting and recovering.
Exactly.
There
but
we
I've
go.
Heard that through like friends of friends that he's very chill and likes to be out of the public eye and like lives out somewhere.
I know.
In the middle of nowhere. I'm like, man, that's a great level to be at.
Yeah, that's nice.
You know, you get the best of both worlds.
He's so recognizable.
Yeah. You kind
of
have to live in the middle of nowhere, right? If you're that.
Yeah. But I wonder what level. If he was like that before he had success. Because I feel like you kind of do have to grind to a certain extent until you can get to a place where you're like, all right, people know who I am. I'll take a nap now.
Yeah.
But
let me buy this farm and a couple sheep and I'm good.
I'm curious to know what he was like when he was doing stand up.
Yeah.
If he was grinding necessarily.
Yeah. I can't picture him as like a young open micer just like, you know, being like, guys, I'm just going to stay in for me. Like, I just need a me night, you know? And like, you should probably go run some jokes, man. Like, don't you want this? I don't know.
Oh my gosh. I know. When I think back on like starting out and just how much you were doing at the time, like whether you're doing like school and work or however many hours a week, and then trying to do shows at night, I'm just like, how did I ever do that?
I don't know. I mean, we keep bringing up the whole like adrenaline addiction, but I'm like, shit, there's just been so many areas of my life where like, I'm like, how was I still standing?
Yeah.
And I was like drunk, you know, I was like in college. I was like, oh my God. And I just like didn't get hung over really. It's so crazy.
Dude, miserable. I remember I would just, I'd go to work for 10 plus hours, change in the bathroom into my comedy clothes.
Yeah.
And then I'd go straight to shows and then I'd just go straight home, try to eat and sleep and do it all over again. I'm like, that's not a life.
No. Yeah.
That is not a good quality of life right there.
No.
But it's what I felt like I had to do to like get to this thing that I didn't even know what I wanted, but I was just doing it and going through the motions.
Yeah.
Should we kick it off with some segments?
Yeah, sure. Do you want to go? Should I go?
Oh, I mean, mine's quick, so I can just do mine.
Yeah, sure.
I mentioned this briefly, but I am going to Austin this weekend
for
one of my best friend's 30th birthdays. We're doing like a triple date. It's me and Kane, my best friend Hannah and her boyfriend, and my best friend Kelly and her husband. And so we're going to just like have the six of us. We rented out this cool Airbnb, and it's just going to be about like eating really good food and drinking drinks and dancing. Yeah. We're going to like do an escape room at some point. And I'm just so excited.
So cool.
I'm like, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Austin is such a cool city. That's like one of the only places besides where we live now that I could live.
Really?
Yeah. And be happy. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't really been there for long enough to actually explore the city. I just have had a show here or there where it's like you go, you do your show, and then you leave. So I'm just so excited. There's this place called like the 1886 Bakery that has a chocolate cake recipe from 1886.
Whoa.
And I got to have the chocolate cake the last time I was there. And it's like, it has haunted my dreams. Like it's... I think the best chocolate cake I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've had a lot of chocolate cake, and I just can't wait. And I'm like thinking about, I'm just imagining Kathy Heller being here in the room with us and being like, that's enthusiasm, and you can have more of that. But really, like, it feels so electric. I'm like so, so excited to go be with my best friend and my man and just
and
like
cake.
Do all and cake and just do only fun things for a whole weekend. I think it's going to be awesome. So I'm really excited for that. That's my treat yourself. No work involved.
Yes, good.
Purely treating myself.
Not a working vacation,
that's
just
so
a vacation.
Awesome.
Yeah,
yes.
I can't wait.
But like, we're hoping to get jokes out of it.
No, I mean, Taylor, don't write anything
down.
Sorry,
that was
not.
That was my bad.
You know, it's a slippery slope with me.
I know. I can't. I didn't mean that. Don't do that. Just eat the cake. I have a good shit. This is coming out a few weeks or a couple weeks. What day is it?
Well,
it's coming out next week.
Today is the 24th.
Oh my gosh, it's the 24th.
Yeah.
I thought it was like the 12th. Okay, so I was in Dallas or Addison last weekend. And oh my gosh, we had helpsters at every show. It was amazing.
Love that. That's so cool.
And like, it was so nice. And the club's amazing. And like, wow, just after 2 weeks of essentially just being like confined to my apartment, it was so nice to like fall in love with performing again. Cause I was feeling getting to the point where I was getting kind of burnt out again. And I was like, oh, but I have stuff I want to do. And then once you like can't for so long, I mean, I did like 3 shows in those 2 weeks. And once I like got back into it and was just like, you know, all right, we're all in feet first.
Yeah.
Like let's write some new stuff and work on the hour. And yeah, I felt like so productive.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
Like I'd re-entered society.
Sweet.
And it was
Hell
so
yeah.
great to meet all of you guys. So
that's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. I have a self-care list / to fuck because it's partially my fault. So this is what happened. So Cam and I tried to adopt a 2-year-old English bulldog from the SoCal Bulldog Rescue. Big shout out to them. They are an amazing organization. If you are in the LA area, they're in the Orange County area. So check them out. We found one.
Plug them.
Yeah.
That'll
seriously, I'm like,
good
you guys, somebody has to adopt Maureen. She's the greatest. So what happened?
Maureen.
Long story short, we fell in love with this bulldog. We met her and then we didn't get her approved at the apartment because there's a weight limit and she's about 30 pounds over the weight limit. So I was pretty devastated. And I had bought everything for her. Like she's got... a collar with her name engraved on it.
No.
I bought an orthopedic bed. I got way ahead of myself because I'm like,
because
I saw her and I'm like, even if there is any issue, I'm going to find a loophole. Like, this is our dog. This shit's happening.
Yeah.
So I went, I bought all the things. Like, we've just been waiting for her and then it didn't get approved. So I was really sad. But it was my fault because I knew there was some kind of restriction. I just thought that I could figure something else out. And a lot of people told me, like, do the emotional support animal thing. I have pretty severe anxiety, so I thought I would, you know, qualify for that. But after a lot of research, it seems like a lot of places don't accept the letters from, like, those websites you can buy them from.
Mm.
They kind of, like, they usually require, like, a letter from your psychiatrist that you've been seeing for a long time and just saying that it's like part of your treatment.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to go down that road because I'd probably end up buying a letter and then having to like I couldn't get the dog anyway and then pay all these other fees. So didn't work out. So seriously, you guys, I'm going to post pictures of Maureen and her information in like our group, because if anybody wants a bulldog and wants to rescue a bulldog, she's 2 years old. She's like a lot leggier than most bulldogs, so she can like do stairs and like do longer walks than usual. Anyway, I just want to find her a home now because I was so ready to like give her a home, and the fact that I can't bothers me so much. So, yeah, so that was kind of a shitty moment, but that was like big time my fault. I just got ahead of myself, and Cam's like, I told you not to do that. But
how did Cam take it?
Yeah, he was bummed. But he was also like, you know, it wasn't a sure thing. And I was like, I was going to make it a sure thing. I was going to work.
Have
all
you
the-
met me?
Yeah. I was going to work all the loopholes. But like our property manager is so sweet. They're like, it was just impossible to be like an asshole to her in any way. So we're looking into another awesome organization in our area. Operation Adopt in Burbank, another fantastic rescue place. So we are looking at some dogs this weekend. So hopefully, you know, I'll have a dog soon. Yay. But I'm not going to get attached until it's a done deal.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's tough, man.
That's tough.
I didn't know about the engraved collar.
Yeah, I'm...
That makes me so
I went
sad.
Way too far. I was just like...
Yeah.
I'm trying to manifest this dog. Let's put a name on the collar.
Did you do your usual Delaney, like, workaholism with
of
the
course.
Dog? Yeah.
Did all my research.
Oh, boy.
I bought literally everything. I mean, I bought special shampoo for bulldogs. Like,
Delaney.
I did everything. I was a fucking mad woman.
Oh, like, my God.
Yeah, and that, again, that's my fault because I tend to get obsessed about something and then it's just like I go hard. I go really hard.
My God.
So if anybody wants to adopt the bulldog, you know, I'm posting Maureen all over the place. Yeah. So just get ready for her.
She's coming.
She's got the craziest
she's
underbite I've ever seen, and I just fell in love with it. It is so gnarly and fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
So
well, we're sending good thoughts. The pictures you sent of the puppies were darling.
Yeah, there's rescue puppies available, which is a
that, like,
rarity.
Never happens.
And like when we first started talking about adopting, Cam was like, I really want a puppy. And I'm like, look, the only way I'd get a puppy is if it comes from a rescue, and that's really rare. So let's not bank on that, because I'm not doing a pet store and I'm not doing a breeder. No judgment to anybody who does that, but just for me personally, I'm not going to be doing that route. So that's the only thing that I cared about.
Yeah.
We lost Maureen, and then I looked at the this other place that we had been to a couple times. Mm-hmm. Kelsey, I've been by myself a couple times when we went together, and they within the last like few days had posted that they had puppies. I'm like, oh man, Cam might be getting his way.
Time.
Yeah. So that's it. Exciting.
You know what else I just thought of too, which is like such a cool, I don't know if it's like a treat show self because it's just part of the wedding planning process, but Kane and I got to go do our wedding tasting.
Oh yeah. Oh my God.
I totally get now why people are like, oh, it's the best part of like everything. It's the best part of wedding planning by far.
Yeah.
Because we just walked in and it's this like beautiful room and they just bring you like course after course.
Oh man.
Oh, we got such big heads sitting there. We just felt like king and queen. Like, bring me my potato, sir. Like, it was so fun and the food was so fucking good. Like,
yay.
Goddamn, you guys are in for a real treat.
Yay.
It's
going to
be
exciting.
So good. So that was really fun. I've been kind of like dragging my feet on wedding planning just because all of a sudden it feels like, oh shit. Now it's actual like work that has to be done. And it was fun to go do something that was actually like really, really fun. So.
Yeah. So did you do cakes or just food?
No, the caterers that we're going with don't do dessert. Like, they'll cut the cake for you, but you have to get your dessert from another place
or
whatever.
You know plenty of places.
Oh, girl. Yeah. Don't you worry
crack
about
that.
Crack
pie cake.
Oh, my God. That would be so cool to have Milk Bar. Oh, shit. You're giving me ideas.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things, like, do you want a cake? Do you want a cake
whatever
or do you,
you
just want,
dude.
Like, dessert of some kind?
I'm going to do donuts at mine eventually.
I know. Yeah.
Like, do whatever you want. It doesn't have to be a cake.
Yeah, you know? We might do like a little cake for Kane and I, and then like cupcakes for everybody else, or just something that's like
so
quicker
cute.
And easier. I'm not sure, but
yeah. I love the donut idea. I was talking to my sister about that yesterday. I was like, can we just like have a big stack of donuts?
Hell yeah,
like,
you is can.
That people?
Yeah.
Is that what you did?
Yes,
Aaron did that.
The donut walls that are popping up, super cool.
Oh, yeah.
One of my best friends, Charlene, did that at hers. It was awesome and delicious gourmet donuts. I have always always, like, even when I was young, I'm like, I know that I want donuts at my wedding for a dessert.
That's
been always, like, one of my favorite desserts. And, like, just, like, kind of, like, a tower of them somehow or something.
Yeah.
You know, like, they and that's, so like, a cool cake-shaped donut bar or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, just do whatever you like.
People have In-N-Out cater them. And I'm like, God, I would have totally done that if that wasn't, like, a requirement of our venue that you had to use their caterer. Yeah. I totally would have done In-N-Out.
Like, truck? Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What a such dream. A good idea.
Yeah. So, anyway. It was delicious and super fun, and I'm just so excited to have that meal all over again on the wedding day. So, yeah. Awesome. Anyway.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Oh, we have a voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So on the Patreon, one of the rewards is... you get to call into our studio line number, leave a voicemail, and then we discuss it on the show. So if you're interested in anything like that, you can go to patreon.com/selfhelpless to learn more information.
Perfect.
This is Micah.
Hi, Micah.
I wanted to call and get an advice question, basically. I've basically been going through a lot of stuff personally. And I am just kind of struggling with it, with college and money, as well as being an off and on comedian. And I don't really have friend group or support group that helps me through these times and when I need them. And I was just kind of wondering how I could either find a way to make a friend group or in any other methods that you can use to get through it, because it's not exactly easy when you can't go to your family or you don't have any friends if you run into a tough spot. I know that this is a very vague and general question, but I just hope y'all can help me out, because I'm sure any advice is better than none. And I thank y'all for letting me call, and I'm a huge fan of all of y'all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Micah.
Thanks, Micah.
Yeah, comedy, money, and college. I mean,
oh my God, we were just talking about that.
Yeah,
it's so hard to do all three of the, like, be dealing with all three of those things at the same time.
Yeah, let me just say something. The money thing, that is tough. Like, I literally this morning just paid off a portion of my debt, and I'm still not all the way out, and that's just probably going to be a continual thing.
Yeah,
so like, don't beat yourself up about that. That is something that's going to be a long-term goal that you can work towards and hopefully figure out along the way with payments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The comedy and friend thing. I remember just meeting people at open mics and like Facebook groups that other comedians in my area. You can even like create your own Facebook group or something of that nature to like start your own kind of group. Like if there's nothing out there that already exists, you can be that person that makes it. There's probably a bunch of people that are hoping something like that is out there already too. You're not alone.
Yeah, because I don't know, he didn't mention where
the area,
where you're at, Micah, so I don't know what kind of scene you're in or how how, you know, easy it is for you to get up all the time. But the on again off again thing is hard, because you know, most times if you have a comedy scene, that's a pretty good community that you can plug yourself into, and you just kind of become friends with whoever you start out with and whoever you're around when you're going up at open mics like every single night. But if you're dipping in and out, you know, like once a month or once every 6 weeks, it can be a little bit harder to get to know people.
Yeah.
A good way to become friends with people that are doing comedy too is like just ask somebody to like go to coffee and write somebody who's also doing open mics with you.
I think that's great advice. I'm just kind of piggybacking on Taylor's. Like, there's so many people, especially in the open mic scene, that are going through what you're going through and like feeling that way, and I just feel like there's always a lot of camaraderie and people that are looking to talk to one another at an open mic, you know. People want to talk about what's going on with them, so just if you want to try and do the writing thing, I think that's a great way to make more friends and just say, hey, anybody want to do like a writing group and throw out joke premises and see if there's something there. And yeah, I think that's a good way to do it.
Oh man, I loved my writing group. I liked getting together with other comics to write or bounce off ideas more than I actually liked performing. And
really?
To this day, I like that part of it more than I actually like performing.
That's
when I felt like I was part of like a team, and you know, it wasn't like so lonely. I really love that. That's great advice. Writing group. And people love writing groups because you bring up a premise in the group, everybody has a different perspective, you got like a pretty decent bit that you can build on. It's like a win-win. Also, if there's like a different hobby or interest that you have other than comedy, finding friends that way would be also great, and then those friends will probably come support you at your shows and stuff like that, so you can have that option too.
Volunteering clubs on campus. I mean, I don't know if you're interested in like improv as well with stand-up, but like most colleges have like improv groups. Which, I mean, improv is like far more collaborative than stand-up is. Stand-up, it's easy to just like go to an open mic and go home and like you know,
good point,
get sucked into your
they're
own
usually
thing.
A lot nicer.
They're usually a lot nicer so if you're just interested in comedy, I mean, you might want to try improv.
Absolutely. And even if it's not like a college thing, a lot of these places, depending on where you live, there's like UCB and you know, IOS and all that stuff, where you could just go sign up for like the 101 class and get to know people that way.
But you're definitely not alone in any of those feelings. You can always post in our Self-Helpless Podcast Facebook group. There's so many people all over the world in there. Maybe somebody's in your area and you guys can connect that way too. Just, you know, you can start small and build on that.
Thanks for being a patron, Micah.
Keep us updated with all of that.
All right. Shall we get into the meat
here?
Let's do it.
Meat time. Depression, my gosh.
Should we start big topic off? It's hard to know exactly where to start with it because it's just like
such a big one.
I think the reason we've put off doing it for so long is almost like it's kind of a bummer to talk about depression and even like your own personal experiences with it. Like, at least for me, like there's some like I really sort of dread like appointments with like a psychiatrist or a therapist sometimes, especially when it's a new doctor and I have to like go back over everything. So before we get into anything, we should probably say this is like, you know, if this is a subject that's triggering for anybody, you know, feel free to skip this one. If you are feeling like depressed or suicidal or anything, please, you know.
I actually have the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 1-800-273-8255. So again, 1-800-273-8255. You can reach out to them immediately for any help.
And I feel like we should, because I just want to say the actual like clinical definition of depression. So a mental condition characterized by feelings of severe despondency and dejection, typically also with feelings of inadequacy and guilt, often accompanied by lack of energy and disturbance of appetite and sleep.
So I think we've all experienced this at some point. So I want to clarify the difference between situational depression and clinical depression. I myself have experienced situational depression. I don't think I've ever, you know, had it ongoing for too long. So situational depression is... this is a short-term form of depression that occurs as the result of a traumatic event or change in a person's life. Adjustment disorder with depressed mood is another name for this emotional state. Triggers can include a divorce, loss of a job, the death of a close friend, a serious accident, other major life changes such as retirement. Situational depression stems from a struggle to come to terms with dramatic life changes. Recovery is possible once an individual comes to terms with the new situation. So, for instance, following the death of a parent, it may take a while while before a person can accept that a family member is no longer alive. Until acceptance, they may feel unable to move on with their life, and symptoms can include listlessness, feelings of hopelessness and sadness, sleeping difficulties, frequent episodes of crying, unfocused anxiety and worry, loss of concentration, withdrawal from normal activities, as well as from family and friends, and suicidal thoughts. And most people with experience who experience situational depression begin to have symptoms within 90 days of the triggering event. That is super interesting that it can happen 3 months after.
Yeah.
Remember I've told you, like, for me, stuff does not kick in for several months.
Yeah.
I never feel it right away.
Wow.
I go right into, like, survival mode if anything happens. And it does not hit me until, like, the storm has kind of passed and things have settled.
Mm.
So that really hit me a lot. Like, that's how I definitely experience it personally. And then clinical depression is more severe than situational depression. It's also known as major depression or major depressive disorder. It is severe enough to interfere with daily function. So the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual of Mental Disorders classifies clinical depression as a mood disorder. Disturbances in levels of certain chemicals known as neurotransmitters may be to blame. However, other factors are likely to play a role. For example, genetic factors may influence an individual's response to an experience or event. Major life events can trigger negative emotions. Alcohol, drug dependence, also linked to depression. It can also alter a person's thought processes, bodily dysfunctions. So diagnosing depression. So they're saying a person must show five or more symptoms from a specific list of criteria over a 2-week period for most or nearly every day.
Mm-hmm.
The symptoms should be severe enough that they substantially reduce the person's ability to perform regular duties and routines. So at least one of the symptoms must be depressed mood or loss of interest or pleasure. Other signs and symptoms include depressed mood or constantly irritable, significantly reduced interest or feeling no pleasure in activities, significant weight loss or weight gain, a decrease or increase in appetite, insomnia or an increased desire to sleep, restlessness or slowed behavior, tiredness or loss of energy, feeling of worthlessness or inappropriate guilt, trouble making decisions or concentrating, recurrent thoughts of death or suicide or a suicide attempt. And some people can even experience delusions, hallucinations, and other psychotic disturbances. They do not generally occur in people with situational depression.
Yeah. It's so crazy because there are so many different types and, like, categories of depression.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Oh my gosh.
You told me.
Yeah, there's so many. Like, when we looked it up, because I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, situational versus chronic. Like, that's makes sense.
Right.
But, like, they have so many different names just for very specific, like, this is, like, you know, after, I mean, even just, like, postpartum and peripartum depression.
Right.
Like, okay, so, like, this specific, which that could fall under situational, but it there's all these, like, subcategories almost.
Yeah. Seasonal affective.
Seasonal affective. Yeah. I'm going to give a couple statistics just because, like, I don't know how everybody else feels about this, but, like, as somebody who's dealt with depression and anxiety, like, hearing statistics helps me sometimes because it makes me feel like, oh, plenty of people are, you know, fucked up. Like,
alone.
It's fine. Like, not everybody feels great all the time. I'm by myself. So the World Health Organization says that it is the leading cause of disability worldwide and a major contributor to the overall global burden of disease. So, like, if you're depressed, it's going to affect your immune system. Like, that's, isn't that crazy? It's so crazy how it just affects everything. And globally, more than 300 million people of all ages suffer from depression. So
300 million.
Yeah. And it said at its worst, depression can lead to suicide, and 800,000 people a year commit suicide globally is the statistic that they have, which is very scary. That's 1 every 4 seconds.
Oof.
Isn't that nuts? Whew, this is gonna be
this is a deep one.
We're chewing it. You guys. Oh my gosh. I know. We're like trying we're sorry if this is coming off like very like informational and reedy. I think like for something like this we have to like reference a lot of articles and statistics.
We'll get into our own stuff too,
we'll get into our own stuff too, but just especially like I mean, I would hate to get a bunch of emails where like, well, you didn't mention this. And it's like, oh, but we meant to. It's just such a big, it's such a big topic.
And also, like, we're doing our best. You guys remember, we're three comedians. Like, at the end of the day,
we're just like you.
Yeah. We always encourage you guys to do your own research. Everybody's completely different with what works and what doesn't. And like we've said in the past, like when we bring topics like this up, they are part of a series of episodes that we're going to do around this topic. So this is just our initial one. About depression.
So I mean, as far as the different types, I mean, we've mentioned a couple, but the ones I found were persistent depressive disorder, which lasts for 2 years or longer, and it is a term used to describe two conditions previously known as dysthymia and chronic major depression. So when I was very depressed in high school, my therapist at the time told me I had dysthymia. And it had been like, it was like years. It was probably like 3 years that it was like really severe, like to the point of like suicidal thoughts and like all that shit. And I was like cutting and all that crap. But like when I got into therapy and I started doing stand up, and I like stopped doing certain things, you know, like my senior year of high school, I like didn't take the classes I thought I was supposed to take. I took like creative writing because I wanted to. I got into drama instead of like doing band for years, which I had been doing because my dad wanted us to all learn music and just like, you know, was just trying to do all the things I was supposed to do. And once I kind of let go of all that and was in therapy and was doing stand up, it helped so much. I mean, it was crazy. I remember you know, like being in class one day my senior year and just going like, oh my gosh, I feel okay. Like this isn't that hard to just sit there, because for years I had been like going to the bathroom and like having panic attacks, and like I just like keep my iPod in my pocket and like go and like listen to very specific music to like get through it. And it was just like, and I didn't know what was happening because I hadn't been to therapy yet, which is why we always advocate for therapy so much on this show, because like having somebody validate your feelings and like give names to it is really helpful. Which is why we're reading so much to you, and why we're trying to explain all the different types and symptoms, so that maybe somebody listening who's experiencing it, who may not be aware, you know, that what they're going through has a specific name, maybe that can give you some comfort and you can do that research and figure it out. Bipolar disorder is on here, seasonal affective, psychotic, like you were saying, which is hallucinations and delusions and paranoia, peripartum, postpartum. This one was like premenstrual depression, but it's like really intense.
Interesting.
Yeah, I hadn't even heard
like
of that.
PMS times 1,000 type of a thing.
Yeah,
that's the PMDD, right?
Yeah. PMDD. That's Yeah, and they, I mean, it's hard because they all have pretty similar, you know, symptoms. It's more just like the situation surrounding it or what might be causing or triggering.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then this one I had never heard of. It's called atypical depression. And it says this type is different than the persistent sadness of typical depression. It is considered to be a specifier that describes a pattern of depressive symptoms. So if you have atypical depression, a positive event can temporarily improve your mood. And it says increased appetite, sleeping more than usual, feeling of heaviness in your arms and legs, and oversensitive to criticism are all symptoms. So again, it's all fairly similar, the symptoms, I feel like. But you know, it's important to know exactly like what you're dealing with, so that you know what the best course of action is as far as treatment goes. Kelsey, you looked up some like natural treatment stuff, which, by the way, we've gotten some feedback because I have been very open about you know, me trying to like get on antidepressants this year and trying a few different ones and how they didn't work for me. I just want to make it very clear to everybody, I am not knocking the use of antidepressants. I have plenty of friends who are on them, and it works great for them, and it just wasn't the case for me, which is frustrating. But if you hear me talking about how hard it was for me to get on them, that's, I think, more just me trying to be open, and maybe some people are dealing with that too, where they're trying to get on antidepressants and it's not going well. And if you're feeling like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? Like antidepressants don't even help me. Cause I've certainly felt like that sometimes where I'm like, well, I guess I'm just broken like forever. Yeah. So if you're feeling like that, I mean, that's who I'm trying to comfort and talk to. If you're on an antidepressant and it's working great for you, or you're taking Prozosin for nightmares and it's working for you. I know we have a few people in the Facebook group that said they were on it. I think that's amazing. I want everything to work for everybody. I really do. I wanted that stuff to work for me, but it just didn't, unfortunately. And at the same time, you know, hopefully we don't have anybody, especially in the Facebook group, who's putting down either side of like people who want to be on a medication of some kind,
right?
Or anybody who is advocating for only natural treatments, because everybody's different. Everybody has their own, you know, journey, and whatever is best for you. That's how everything should be taken. This is what worked for me. And if that doesn't work for you, everybody's different. So just everybody be sensitive and, you know, sort of gracious with each other. Because I know we tackle a lot of very sensitive topics on here.
Absolutely.
And it can get a little incendiary at
and
times.
And we all know people who have tried. We all know people who have tried both. And weed works for one of them and antidepressants works for the other. And they've tried both and they're fine. It's like, yeah, this is what works for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of trial and error with everything.
Yeah.
So
I found a great article on everydayhealth.com by Therese Borchard. She started an online community for treatment resistant depression. So this might be people who are very like open to trying antidepressants, but just for whatever reason, it is not working for them. She says that she's been inundated with mail from desperate people who have tried 30 to 40 different kinds of antidepressants and feel no relief.
Holy crap.
And she apparently is also one of these people who just felt so frustrated. So she said that she, below in this article, had outlined 9 basic steps for people who are treatment resistant, because these actions, she said, more than any medication I've tried in the last 7 years, have helped me emerge from the other side of depression. She also, like we just said, is not anti-medication by any means. Drugs serve an important purpose, but with so many people not responding or only partially responding, that she felt compelled to list these other parts of recovery. So these are some of them. One of them is identify any underlying conditions, which I think is super important to get like a full, you know, scope of what's going on. So Therese said that, she says, I would venture to say that most people with treatment resistant depression are also suffering from undiagnosed conditions. My list was long: Crohn's disease, small intestine bacteria overgrowth, hypothyroidism, low stomach acid, adrenal fatigue, Raynaud's phenomenon and connective tissue problems, pituitary tumor, aortic valve regurgitation, and certain nutrient deficiencies.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, and I would venture to guess that most of us, if we went out there and really got like a thorough checkup like that, we would also get a list of stuff that we're like, what? Like,
yeah.
Seriously?
Well, it's like all the candida stuff. I mean, even like your gut health affects your mood and your depression.
There's more serotonin in your gut than your brain or something, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So she says it's best to work with an integrative or functional doctor. Many are listed on the website for the Institute of Functional Medicine. So that's kind of a cool resource if you guys want to look into that, where they did like full blood panel, all that type of stuff. And so, yeah, that's her number one. The number two is eliminate triggers of inflammation. So we've talked about that on here. We talked about that with our nutrition episode, how so many different foods are so inflammatory and that just makes everything flare up. Usual suspects are sugar, gluten, dairy, caffeine, and alcohol. Obviously, if you had food allergies you're unaware of, that's also making your body like constantly fighting against something and just wearing everything else out,
which is like the first thing doctors are gonna tell you, by the way. If you have any sort of issue, they're just gonna be like, well, maybe you're allergic to soup, and you're like, no, I've been having soup forever. Like, they wanted to be like the simplest thing, right? So then you just like, don't, like when I went in, I had the flu, and I was just like, hey, I have the flu, I'm having like breast pain, like, oh, this was like a couple months ago, and he was like, well, maybe you're allergic to avocado. And I was like, how dare you, first off. I would rather die.
Yeah. Yeah,
don't speak about avocado like that. How incredibly inappropriate and rude of you.
But yeah, I was just like, I don't.
Okay,
I was like, I don't think that's it. But that being said, you know, I did for a couple of days. I was like, I'm gonna cut out avocado and see if this works, and it didn't, so we're fine. But yeah, it is good to know what your body's sensitive to, and if you've never done some sort of like elimination diet, yeah. I have, but it is really helpful, and it does show you, like, because you just don't know when you're having like sugar and caffeine every day, you have no idea what it's doing to you, because you're like, this is just who I am, and then you stop and you're like, oh, I'm less shitty than I thought. Like,
oh, I know exactly what doesn't sit well with me. It's just my lack of self-control to stop eating it. I know that, like, I am lactose intolerant. I shouldn't be having as many carbs as I do per day. I know all that shit. It's just like, I fucking love cheese, you guys.
There's
so
really, there's really good nut cheese.
There are. It's Whole been Foods. Amazing.
I know you guys think that.
No, but
I'm telling you.
Well, Delaney.
You know, there is cheese that is tolerable if you put other shit in it, like meat.
No.
Kite Hill. They are not a sponsor of ours, but Kite Hill is so fucking good. It's almond-based cheese, and it's like, it's the first time in my life I'm having cream cheese again, because I just thought I couldn't have it again, and Kite Hill is so good.
I'll try.
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, it's, you won't tell the, like, I have had all the other,
is that
like
Whole
substitutes?
Foods?
Yeah, Whole Foods. Okay. It's expensive, but it's so good. They have a chive cream cheese.
Okay.
And I use that as a good spread and wraps. Have you, you've had it?
I've had it. It's good. It's have you, so did you good. Try the cheese I sent you a picture of? The mozzarella?
No.
One? Okay. So they have different ones. They have cheddar too. We didn't like cheddar that much, but they have like mozzarella shredded cheese.
Is it Daiya?
It's not Daiya. Okay. It's something else that I've only seen at Whole Foods. I need to look it up. I'll post it in the Facebook group. Okay. And it's cashew milk.
Oh, I can't have cashews.
Oh, you can't? Oh, damn it.
I ate half lasagna last night, so I should probably figure something out.
You had what?
Half a lasagna last night.
Delaney. Oh, self-careless.
You guys, I know. That should have been my self-careless segment. I was trying to just skip over
that
part.
I can't help you. I have I have to disconnect myself, because I get too, like, invested in you, and then my heart gets broken, and I have to stop. I'm hurting myself, and I have
I'll put Kite Hill. Oh, I've had their yogurt.
Yeah, the yogurt's really good.
Pretty good. Yeah. Tons of sugar in there.
I know. Yeah, I get the unsweetened.
Okay.
Plain unsweetened, and then I put like
I'll take a trip to Whole Foods.
Try it out, babe.
I'll take a list.
It's really good.
I'll take a list and a walk over there.
But the diet. Oh my gosh, the diet macaroni and cheese.
That is
fuck
not
me
bad.
Up, man.
What?
So good. So good.
Oh, I had. My God. I have to add other things into it,
like
though.
What?
Like what? Like turkey bacon and stuff.
What? Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
To just make it taste better.
What is
I put
wrong
almond
with you?
Milk in mine, and it's really good. Like,
I put some
super
Cholula.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
That's really good. Put some like seasoning or something. Because I love cheese so much. I've been like, you haven't had cheese in 5 years, right?
Yeah.
So you probably forget a little bit, your taste buds at least, maybe.
You're probably used to it.
I also had like over 25 years of cheese. Like I know what the fuck is up with cheese.
She's had more cheese
but it's
than
like,
not
I
cheese.
I had cheese yesterday. So if I eat not cheese today, I think it's like, oh, it's like so apparent, the comparison. I have to wean myself off, incorporate it, and then get used to the fake cheese.
I get that, because I also haven't had cheese in years. I don't know how many years it's been, but it's been years. But Kyle has had cheese. Kyle isn't. And he thinks that cashew milk cheese that
it's
I'm talking
good.
About is great.
Okay.
That being said, Kyle will eat anything. So.
Same with Kane. Kane thinks the substitute ones are delicious, and he eats real cheese all the time.
But he didn't like the freezer fudge, right?
Oh, yeah, no. He but that like was that? Like, that wasn't a cheese thing. That was just, that it does have a very weird taste. And if you're not on board, then
I think it's so good. But yeah, but if you have real chocolate, you're like, oh, that's, oh, I get it. I understand.
Oh, there you are.
That's completely wrong. But it's almost like too much now. If
I'll
you
try.
Have like processed sugar, if I ever have processed sugar, I'm just like, huh, like,
yeah,
this is crazy. Like, Kyle and I were really, really healthy. Like, a few months ago, we had like whatever, how many. Like a few weeks where we're like, we're not doing any sugar and we're not doing any caffeine. It was when we were quitting caffeine, and then we were like, we're gonna go get like some dessert things, and then we got them, we ate like half of it, and we're like, I don't feel right, this feels weird to me, like,
yeah,
because it just, it lights up some shit in your brain, and you're like, oh, who am I? What am I capable of?
Am I gonna hurt somebody? What am I capable of? I don't know my own strength. All right, I'll try. I'll try my best.
That was a real long cheese tangent.
Yeah, that really was.
Nobody could prepare for that. Her third thing is go green. Dark leafy greens like spinach, Swiss chard, and kale fuel every system in your body more completely than any other kind of food. Nutrition powerhouses, packed with vitamins A, C, E, K, and folate. You know, we've talked about this before. Most people know, hey, there's a lot of good shit going on in spinach and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
So go green, heal your gut. Another thing we've talked about a lot, get that good probiotic shit in you. I don't know why I'm making this so like hardcore.
The sauerkrauts.
Probiotic shit.
Just freaking
eat, take your probiotics.
Yeah. Flinging pills at them.
Yeah. Do yoga. I agree. Yoga. I never leave yoga feeling worse. I'll say that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, same with like meditating. I don't meditate and feel like, oh, that now I'm angry. It's like, oh, of course you feel happy and peaceful.
Yeah.
Reduce stress. Take the right supplements. There's two more. Protect your sleep and find a purpose. Mm, I love all these.
Those are all great.
That's just great for everyday living, too.
Yeah. Here's the problem I found is that when you're in a depressive state, you know logically what makes you feel good, but because you're depressed, you don't feel like doing those things. Yeah. There's like a gap there. You're like, I know if I go on a walk or I know if I would do whatever, I'm going to feel better, but I don't feel like doing that.
Right.
You just want to like wallow in it.
I think that's where like the good, like when Brian Regan was talking about the salami method that he read or worked for him. It's like, if you totally get it, when you get in that state, you don't feel like doing shit. You feel like laying down, maybe watching TV and binge eating. I mean, that's me. But, if you can't take a walk or if you don't have the energy, maybe you can just go out for 30 seconds and get some fresh air, take a deep breath, go back inside. Like all those like really small baby steps, that it's like at least you did a little something, you can build on that maybe. And then it's like maybe a walk around the block and come back in, and then maybe it's a longer one or whatever.
I forget who this was, but I feel like I read it somewhere. I think it might have been in that morning routine book I was talking to you guys about. But there was a guy who was saying, like, I just aim to be at the gym for 10 minutes a day because usually I'll stay longer. I just have to get there. Yeah. But telling yourself, like, I only need to stay for 10 minutes.
Oh, that's so smart.
Is a good way. And 10 minutes is better than nothing, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Micah said, some advice is better than no advice. Like, it's so true. Like, any degree of helpfulness is
great.
Better than nothing at all than just sitting and wallowing in it. Yeah. But you're so right. Like, I read this when I'm on the road, what I like to do is just go to Barnes & Noble. Shout out to the two girls who were like, are you Taylor Thompson at a Barnes & Noble while I was looking at planners?
Fuck yeah.
And I was like, this is so on brand for me. And then I was like, what do you guys think of these planners?
Help me out while you're
They're
here.
Very nice. Very nice ladies. And I like always go through all the journals and stuff because they always have those like pre-done journals that's like, oh, year in the life of us, or like a memory a day.
Yeah.
And I think I read one. It was either online or it was at Barnes & Noble. I can't remember what it was. I'm sorry. But somewhere it had said like, make a list of things that are helpful to do when you have anxiety or you're feeling depressed, so that when you're in that state, you can kind of look at it and go like, oh, because when you're in that state, you feel hopeless. You feel like, I don't want to do anything. Nothing's going to help. What's the point? But if you just look at a list, it's almost uplifting in a way of like, oh, well, I have all these options that I haven't tried yet. Like when I'm on the road, especially if I get really like dark, I will, you know, go work out, or I'll go for a walk, or I'll just go in the sunlight if there is sunlight where I am.
Yeah.
Sunlight is huge.
What
oh my gosh.
Yeah. I completely agree. That always, it's like a transfusion, you know, you're like, whoa, you just feel so much better standing in the sun. I know I brought it up before on here too, but the whole Artist Way activity of write 20 things that you enjoy doing and then like write a date next to them of when the last time was you did that. And so many times it's been years and years. For me, one of mine was that I like love playing basketball and shooting hoops, and my date next to it was like insanely long ago. And so the next step in the book is like, okay, now pick two and go do that. And so a couple days ago, Kane and I we had a Target gift card. We went and bought ourselves basketballs, and there's like an open court a couple blocks from us. We went and shot hoops, and it was like so fun and made me feel so good. And I just think it's important to even take like just two things on that list and try and incorporate them, because it's amazing. That's such like an individualized thing, where what's my 20 favorite things is definitely like not yours and not yours. And we all have our own things that like nobody's online list, as helpful as what I just read was, that's not like specific about somebody who loves to bake or whatever. I think there's little activities that we need to know for ourselves what really lights us up and to go do that.
Yeah, so, we forget to play.
Thanks. Cool. It was so fun.
Yeah, we forget to play, especially like as adults. Like we take life so seriously and we try to get like all of our ducks in a row and all that stuff that we forget to like have fun sometimes.
Yeah.
To like remind ourselves like, oh wait, there are other options and things that I could be doing to like, but even in the medical news today where I read the stuff that I was talking about from, they say a lot of the same stuff. Get regular exercise, eat a well-balanced diet, you know, keep regular sleeping habits, talk to loved ones, join a formal support group, take up a hobby or leisure activity. Yeah. So you got both sides, you know, the medical side and the holistic side saying a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So food and sleep are the biggest things. Food, sleep, and water, I feel like, are the three big ones. Like, if you don't have those down, you don't really have anything. Like, when I don't sleep, I mean, you can't tell me anything. You really can't.
Different person.
Different human being. And then you sleep for 8 hours and you're like, oh, that's right. I'm okay. I can have a life and a family. But when you're so tired, you're just like, well, I'm a lone ranger and I'm going to hurt everyone I meet. No one should be near me. Get away from me, Susie Ann. I'm just going to break your heart. That's how I feel when I don't sleep.
Oh my God. Like a gunslinger in Westworld. Good Lord. Like, dude, that's so funny.
I'm a robot.
Oh my God. I love that.
And then, when you eat sugar, like, especially if you cut out like sugar, dairy, gluten, if it bothers you, if it doesn't, you know, go for it. Yeah. But if you, it's a bummer to eat healthy because once you do, you can't go back. Like, I used to really like have a huge problem, like binge eating in like high school and the very beginning of college. And then I kind of got over the binge eating. And once I started getting like really healthy and I realized how much better I felt, it like ruined me. Like when I was in Dallas last weekend, I was like, I'm going to get a Danish because I earned it. That's not binging. That's binging to me now because I ate a Danish and like 3 hours later, I'm like, I don't feel good. And that wasn't, I mean, it was delicious, but like I shouldn't have eaten it at the beginning of the day because it ruined things for me.
It's a nighttime activity.
Yeah, it's a nighttime activity.
Sleep it off.
But then if I eat sugar before nighttime, I go to bed and I have nightmares. So
really?
It's like, oh my gosh, yes. It's a nightmare. If I don't, I did get really good sleep in Dallas because I took a blueberry every single night and I like didn't have to get up at a certain time. I also slept until like noon or 2 p.m. every day.
And those blueberries, are they 5 milligrams?
They're 5 milligrams.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Weed blueberries. I'm weed, like, you just had one blueberry? Yeah. That's fucked up.
Some weird.
That's not a dessert, Taylor. Yeah. I hate to break it to you.
That's a strange Alice in Wonderland trip. I have one blueberry and then I sleep for 12 hours.
No, I mean, those blueberries are huge. Like, the only thing is I have to take them if they're gonna put me to sleep, because like if I vape or something, that'll put me to sleep pretty quickly within like 20 minutes, but it doesn't keep me asleep in the same way. Whereas like if I take an edible, it'll take like an hour and a half maybe to like kick in sometimes,
but then it's in there
and I feel like I stay asleep better because I have a lot of trouble like not waking up, especially if you have anxiety and depression. I feel like you're far more prone to nightmares. Just because it's, you know, just because your depressed brain is asleep doesn't mean it's not cooking up ways to mess with you.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I feel so bad that you have trouble sleeping. Kane also is like, you guys are like poor sleepers. Like wake up easily, all that stuff. And I've always just slept like a log. Like I've slept through hotel fire alarms and shit like that.
Really?
And it's something I've taken for granted because I'm like, oh, wow. It breaks my heart to see Kane because like, we'll wake up sometimes. He's like, I was up from like 4 till 6 and then I tried to go back to sleep. Like, it's just not easy.
I only have nightmares when I'm severely stressed out or anxious about something. It's very apparent. And I'm like, that's why. Like, I wake up, I'm like, that was terrible. I'm like, it's because I have all these things that I'm constantly thinking about during the day.
You know? Oh my God.
What's like a time where you guys have felt like you were the most depressed?
And like, oh man.
What, and well, Taylor kind of talked about it and like what pulled her out of it.
Yeah.
When, did we talk about this at one point? I feel like we've shared these stories of when we were like the most depressed.
About,
like,
we lonely. Probably have, but we always talk about lonely.
Oh, that's yeah. right. Okay. But I mean, yeah.
Yeah. For me, high school was probably super low point. Like when I was like 16. So right around the time I was starting stand up, yeah. which is why it was tough for me when I kind of was like getting back to that place. This last, like a year ago, I was really in that place, and it was scary because stand-up was the thing that I felt like more than anything like kind of saved me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so to now be in a place where, and I've probably said this before, so excuse me for repeating myself, but to be in a place where now it's my job and now it's just one of the things stressing me, with the travel more so than the actual performing, and the pressure and the, all the different changes that are all great, and I'm very grateful for, but all that stuff was triggering it, and it felt like, oh my gosh, like, am I just gonna have to find something else, you know, every few years? And I think if you are somebody who struggles with anxiety and depression, it's probably gonna be just like something you deal with for the rest of your life. And it's been sort of freeing for me to realize that, because I think for a while I had this feeling of like, well, I'll just beat it someday.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Like with anxiety, don't you feel like
totally.
That way?
Totally.
Like, someday I'll just be fine.
I do the Headspace meditation app, and that's something they really like emphasize, is like, stop thinking that you can just like whack-a-mole this away. Like you just have to learn how to like manage it in a very functional way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just have to take a look at yourself and go, okay, you are the type of person, in the same way that you would say this if you were on an antidepressant, like for me, this is how I'm talking to myself, because I am not going to take antidepressants. They don't seem to work for me. It's like, okay, you can't do that. But if I could, I would say you're the type of person who needs to take an antidepressant every day, and you can't have any weird stigma about it. It's just what you do. You're taking care of yourself. There's no reason to feel bad about it, because I struggled with all that. But now I'm like, okay, you're the type of person who just like needs to exercise every day. Like even if it's just like a 2-mile walk around your neighborhood, like you're the type of person who needs to drink like close to a gallon of water every day. You're the type of person who can't eat a lot of sugar or gluten or anything weird, because it'll mess with you. And if you want to do what you love for a living and you want to travel like you want to travel, these are all the things that you have to keep in line. I mean, even being in Dallas, like I didn't need to rent a car, but I did, because I was like, this is going to cut down on my anxiety. It's going to make it easier to do my job. And, you know, at a certain point, you have to take a look at your life and your mental health and go, okay, I don't want to spend more time and money on this, but if I don't, it's just going to get worse or stay the same.
Yeah.
So it's not worth having the extra time and money if you're miserable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and again, there's so many different like supplements you can take too. I mean, I'm learning so much, but like I've been taking B12 for a long time. I started taking B12, I think, after I stopped when I was trying to do like the vegan thing and then trying not to eat as much meat. And that helped a lot with energy. Vitamin D, I've been told, is like really helpful, which is the same as getting sun, but just taking a supplement is also an option. I talked about getting the genetic testing done by a psychiatrist, where she was saying that I had trouble like creating serotonin, and part of that was something with like a folic acid production. Again, I'm not a doctor, so look it up yourself, but that's essentially the gist of it. And she was like, you should probably take a folic acid supplement. And I was like, okay, how long do I need to do that? And she goes, your whole life. Like, you should do that forever. And I'm like, cool. So that's like another like $30 a month I have to just account for, you know?
Right. Or
it's like, okay, so I'm going to give two more people Netflix. I think of everything in terms of Netflix. But if it's going to help you, I mean, don't like, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself in the same way you would take care of somebody that you love and don't want to lose.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be number one priority.
I feel like, you know, we haven't plugged BetterHelp in a while, and I feel like this is a great time.
Yeah, honestly.
To talk about BetterHelp. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know what BetterHelp.com is. If you don't, we're happy to talk about it again. BetterHelp.com is basically a professional and affordable counseling app. So rather than going in person to a therapist, you get to speak to a therapist through your phone by either text, chat, phone, or video. You can start communicating with somebody in under 24 hours. It's available worldwide. You can speak to the person 24/7, 365. And they have financial aid, which is so awesome. So if you're somebody who is in a tough time right now, and maybe going through your insurance is a tough option. Maybe there aren't a lot of people in your network. Whatever the situation is, BetterHelp.com is awesome. I know that you still love your therapist.
Oh, yeah.
On there,
I have an appointment right after we record here. I love my therapist.
Awesome.
I'll tell you, once you're done, I'll tell you a little bit more.
But oh, that's so great.
She's the bomb.
So if you want to sign up and look into it, it's BetterHelp.com/selfhelpless. And for Delaney, I know your big reason was like, you don't want to go into an actual office. You like to do it in your home.
Well, I get really weird in person. And I know like that's probably something that I have to overcome in therapy. But what's great is I've got so comfortable with my therapist on the phone that if we needed to do like a face-to-face session, I'd feel comfortable.
Oh,
like
great.
I've gotten to a point where I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm past that hump of like, I don't know. I felt like I had to, like, I wanted my therapist to like me. So I wasn't completely being myself face to face. On the phone, I'm a lot more revealing. I'm in the comfort of my own home. Mm. I'm not anxious about being there. I'm not anxious about having to commute there and back or like what activities I have to run to after to like, you know, everything's fine. Everything is like within my schedule. I just love her. And I think it's all about finding the right personality type. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was paired with the right personality types. Mm-hmm. I'm, as you guys probably know, quite a direct person, and I need a direct person talking to me. Uh-huh. And I have had a lot of like more passive people, mm-hmm. which is fine for some people. Some people that fucking works. But for me, I'm like, look, what do I got to do? What are some coping mechanisms? Why do you think I do this? Like, can you help me
Give
out a little bit?
Straight.
And I love her because she's like, look, we can figure out why you do all this stuff, and we can dig deep, and we can like figure out what childhood event maybe this stems from, but that's all great, but what are you going to do about it now, and how are you going to move forward with it? And part of me always thought that therapy was almost like kind of just solving a puzzle, you know, like I feel like so many of my friends or family that are in therapy, they love finding out like, I found out why I did this. Isn't that so interesting?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that must be what therapy is. It's like, who the fuck am I? And why am I doing this thing?
Yeah.
But I love the fact she's like, yeah, that's all great. But what now? How are you going to take that and move forward knowing that you do this thing? Even if you never discover why you do it, that is okay. You just got to know.
Wow.
You got to know how you're going to move forward with it. And I'm like, holy shit. So I don't have to like fucking Rubik's Cube my shit up. Like I can just kind of like, all right, I do all this shit. Maybe sometimes I know where it stems from. Sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
And like, that's okay. I just
How
love her so much.
How do we request your therapist?
I'm because
that's
info.
Incredible. Please do.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's possible through the app, but like, that's so awesome.
I've been telling you, I don't think it would be a conflict of any kind. We're not like relatives or anything like that.
I think it would be fine.
It's a personal thing for you. If you feel comfortable.
No, I feel very comfortable. I feel like everybody should have her. She's great. And I think she's just like really, she's given me like what I needed out of a therapist where I felt like I haven't really gotten that in the past.
Yeah.
And, she's awesome.
But I feel like it's hard to find that, honestly.
Yeah.
I feel like I go into therapy going like, look, this is all the stuff I do. I know why I do it.
Right.
And this is why. Help me. And they just like repeat back why it's happening to me. I'm like, yeah, I know. I told you that. Like, why are you just saying it back to me? Like, just tell me how to fix it.
Yeah.
Right.
She's so real too, which I love. I love like a good uncensored person who's like willing to give it to me straight. You know what I mean? Like, we have like a lot of good laughs and stuff, like uncensored stuff.
Like,
and I'm just like, that just makes me feel like, okay, I'm talking to like another human being who's not being structured and you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't feel like I'm talking to a robot.
I
really cannot. I've honestly haven't really enjoyed therapy until this, and I think it's all the elements that of BetterHelp, and like I would be using it whether they were a sponsor or not, honestly. At this point,
That's
gotten
awesome.
Used to it.
Yeah.
And she's a really big advocate of like what we've been talking about is just like something is better than nothing.
Yeah.
And if you can only do like something nice for yourself for 30 seconds a day, at least you're building like the habit of showing up for yourself, and you just build on that and that and that and that. So, since I've started working with her, I have like a whole morning routine that I have stuck with more than I've ever stuck with anything as far as like when it comes to self-care.
That's
and
great.
Sometimes I do it for 3 minutes and sometimes I do it for 30 minutes. It just depends on what I feel like I can fit in, but I'm doing it every single day without fail. I'm not skipping it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so great.
She's great. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
BetterHelp.
BetterHelp.com/self.
Oh, also, another great episode to listen to is Jesse Sella's episode on postpartum depression.
Yes.
We had some technical difficulties with that episode in Spotify, so a lot of people missed that episode. Highly recommend listening to it. She was a fantastic guest, was so open about her experience with postpartum. So go back and check that episode out because you may have missed it.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to talk about real quick, because I'm sure there are people listening to this who are like, you know what? I'm not depressed. I don't deal with that. But I know people who do. And I don't necessarily know what the best way to help them out is. I don't know if you guys have had that experience with like friends of yours that have gone through stuff and you don't know exactly how to handle it.
Yeah, totally.
But this is an article from mentalhealthfirstaid.org, and it says 8 ways to help a friend with depression.
That's a great resource.
Yeah. Isn't that great? And it has, it like kind of explains it for you too, if you're somebody who's never experienced it and really doesn't understand. And it says depression is not caused by one thing. There are all kinds of factors. And it's usually the underlying emotion of depression is one of powerlessness and the inability to change a situation. So again, seasonal change, poverty, being a victim of a crime, side effects of medications, bullying, death of a loved one, having a baby, difficulty finding a job, premenstrual changes, intoxication or withdrawal from alcohol, or I'm guessing any substance that's addictive, or caring full time for a person with long-term disability. And then there are a few communication skills to remember in order to provide the best care you can, which I think these are super helpful for anybody who has a loved one who you can't seem to get through to or you don't know how to best care for. Number one, ask questions with genuine concern and listen to the answer to better understand. Do not interrupt with phrases like "I see" or "ah" or "okay." It can slow down or even stop the conversation altogether. And that was super interesting because a lot of times when you're depressed, you feel really isolated and alone and it's hard for you to open up. I've certainly had this. I've had this with Kyle, who's like an angel, but has not experienced any depression of any kind. And trying to explain it to him has made me like really insecure sometimes where, you know, he can be, you know, perfect about it. And I'll still be like, I just feel like you don't get it. And I don't, this made me feel worse and I shouldn't have brought it up. And, so it just, if somebody starts kind of pushing you away, it's because they're just, they probably feel insecure about it. They feel vulnerable. And it's, you know, again, there's like this worry that people are going to hear you or see you and go like, well, just snap out of it, you know, because we all have those people in our lives that, that do that.
Right. Or see you as like broken or less than, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's on here too. It says, do not use language like pull yourself together or cheer up or it will be all right.
Ooh,
oh my God.
Yikes. I have experienced that so much in my family, like trying to talk about a hard time and have people be like, just be of good cheer. I'm like, I'm not.
Be of good cheer.
I don't live in fucking Whoville. Like, I'm going through some real shit, like
Ebenezer Scrooge type of holiday.
Oh, it makes my skin. I hate that. It's like, you have so many things to be grateful for. I'm like, yeah, I know, but like, there's a difference between, you know, stopping and feeling gratitude for good things and being like, I'm actually going through a really hard time and I'd like to just like talk about it and feel comforted.
Yeah.
And don't shame me for not being grateful enough. Now I just feel shittier.
Exactly.
That I'm not grateful.
Dude, that happens all the time. And I try and like open up to certain members of my family about hard stuff like that. It's just like they don't give me permission to just feel that. They're not like, oh, that's really hard, I'm sorry. It's just like, well, how can we fix it right now? It's like, never mind.
Oh man, another thing that my therapist has been helping me out with, I actually get really anxious every time we record afterward.
Really?
After we record, I go home and I am super uneasy and restless because all these like thoughts start trickling in my head. We reveal a lot of information on here. I mean, that's why people have gravitated to the show, which I'm really grateful. But I also get really insecure. Like, oh my God, did I sound like an asshole either to my listeners or to Taylor and Kelsey? Did I share too much? Did I say something about somebody that they're going to be mad about? Like, oh, I should have said this better. I sounded stupid when I said this. Like constant thoughts.
Dude, I do it too.
And so, I'm like, okay, I don't I can't make this go away. And like my therapist has helped me with that. Just like, you need to like maybe plan an activity every time you record for afterward that will help you relax. So I have to either go home and like take a walk or cook myself breakfast or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to like just go right back into working. She's like, let's try to plan for that. Just know that, try not to battle it or beat it, because you're not going to be able to. You have to like become friends with it and,
yes,
and manage it and try to work with it. So like, you're this type of person who does this, like what you were saying, Taylor, and like kind of planning for it.
Yeah.
Yes. Giving yourself a moment. So
yeah, that makes me feel better to hear that you feel that way. Cause I,
every time
I'm like, what is it about me? But I always like, I feel like I need to decompress like immediately after we record, where I almost just like need to be alone and just kind of like process like what the conversation just was and like how I feel and like just gather myself again, because it's, what we're doing is, this isn't just like a conversation and we're like performing right now. We're recording, we're like doing this whole big thing. And after we're done, I always do feel that way, where I'm like, okay, I need to just kind of like be alone with my thoughts for a second and just like recenter.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
be able to go forward in the day.
Yeah. Well, it's hard like towing the line. But I'm the type of person who needs like real life examples in order to like apply things to my own life. That's just like what kind of learner I am. So the more open people are about their own stuff, I'm able to be like, oh, I see how I can grab some of that and put it into my own situation. Yeah. And so I think there's like a fine line. I kind of toe the line between sharing too much and sharing enough.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like, I don't want to hurt anybody by giving examples that I know about.
Yeah.
But I also want to give people real life examples so they know that they can kind of get through this. And I think that's where I'm like, I kind of toe the line quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, and it's so easy to offend people. I mean, as we've seen, and how I sort of alluded to earlier, is like, you don't want to make anybody feel like you're dismissing what they believe or how they feel about something or how they've found a way to cope.
Yeah.
Especially with things like anxiety and depression, which are so hard. But, you know, you also only have your experience. So
I think we
do a pretty good job of trying to like be careful and say like, hey, we're not doctors. This is just our experience. This is what we know.
Yeah.
You know, we're very open to people sharing with us. And like, we've definitely gotten a lot of emails. I mean, that BPD episode that we did with a listener, like that would have never happened if someone hadn't reached out and shared with us. So we're more than open to anybody's feedback. But just know we're really are doing our best here and not trying to hurt anybody.
And we are three comedians.
I know it's hard to remember sometimes, but the premise of this show, the premise of the show is comedians tackling self-help. Okay. Yeah. So let's just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Other tips, on this article, clarify your understanding by restating what you heard and summarizing their facts and feelings. So just saying like, so it sounds like you feel like this, because sometimes that really does help, just having somebody go, oh man, that's really hard that you feel that way, and you're like, it is really hard. Thank
I
you.
Know
it's nice. Listen to the tone of voice and nonverbal cues. They can reveal issues that are not being verbally communicated. Be patient with the process in which the person is communicating, even if they are speaking slowly, repeating themselves, or not speaking clearly. Do not be critical or express frustration because of what the person is revealing. And do not interrupt to tell them a story about yourself or give your point of view. I have certainly have that.
God.
In like talking to certain members of my family, I just know like, okay, I just can't talk to you about this because you're just going to tell me that I need protein. Like you're just going to tell me to eat a scoop of peanut butter.
Right.
And, which by the way has a lot of sugar in it. You're talking about. They're like, here's some Skippy. And you're like, you don't know what you're talking about. But like, yeah, some people just think it's that easy or don't get it or aren't, you know, educated on it. And that's totally fine. Like that doesn't make them like bad people. But if you are on the other side of it where you're going through it and you're feeling like you're not getting the support you need from people who are close to you, just try to remember like they're doing their best to meet you where you're at. And it's probably scary for them too to not know what to do here.
That's definitely a pet peeve of mine. Because if I open up to somebody and I'm like, hey, I'm just going through this, like, I just want to talk about it. That's literally what I want to do, is like, I want to talk about it because I feel like that's what I need to cope, is like just to get it all out. And sometimes there's like certain people in my life where like I'll just get like two sentences in and they're like, oh man, well, let me tell you how to fix it. And it's like, oh no, I didn't call for. And then literally it's like they talk for 80% of the phone call and you're like, okay, well, I don't feel any better. In fact, I feel a little bit worse, but that's okay.
You know? Yeah. I mean, if you're trying to understand and you're like, I mean, I went through something similar where I felt this way. Is it kind of like that? Like, just don't overpower the conversation. If you're trying really to understand and relate it to something you get, I mean, feel free, but just don't like make it your thing and go, oh, I totally get that.
Yeah.
Back when I was in whatever. Right. I did such and such, and then I was fine. And you're like, okay, well,
yeah,
this is, I feel very dismissed.
You hijacked my sadness.
Now it's, you hijacked my sadness.
And now it's apparently your sadness, and so now I'm the, you know, therapist in this conversation.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, I know that one of the big things my therapist has been saying over and over is to really like dig into meditating, which we've talked about a lot also on our podcast. And I think that's like a resolution for myself this year, is to really try and do like the 10 minutes every day.
Yeah.
I did buy the membership for the Headspace app. They are not sponsored by us or vice versa or whatever. But waking up is also supposed to be a really good one. And I tried a few things of that and I liked it too. So for listeners, like, if meditation sounds very like vague and kind of whatever, I don't know, intimidating, there are so many apps that you just press play and it's like somebody guiding you for 10 minutes, and it's so nice.
I do. I literally, on the YouTube, Google meditation music. I play whatever pops up that looks interesting. I play that on my computer, and then I sit in like this little chair that I have in the corner of my room, and I meditate for about 3 to 5 minutes. It's part of my morning routine. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but it makes me feel better. Like you said, you're not going to feel worse, but that's something I've been able to stick with. That's part of my morning routine every single day, even if it's just for 30 seconds. So
yeah.
So it's like, there's no wrong way to do it. Just sit. I hear that sitting the way that like you watch TV, like in a chair or on a couch, is like the supposed to be the best way to do it. Just like really relaxed and comfortable. Just close your eyes, hang out, whatever.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, I just want to touch on this again. If you are feeling suicidal or like you might be or anything, please, you know, call the hotline or a hotline. Reach out to someone that you love and someone who knows you. I mean, if you have to go to a doctor, like whatever you need to do, just do it. I read online and doing research for this episode, I don't have it pulled up right now, but somewhere it said, I think it was when I was looking at ways to help friends of yours, but it said like suicide's usually an impulsive decision. So, you know, in the article it was talking about, you know, just like help a friend of yours. If you can get them through like that window, then that can, you know, give, kind of help them like weather the storm. I've certainly been in that place, to be totally candid, like especially like on the road by myself or whatnot, where, you know, you just know like, okay, if I just get through this, I'll be fine. But it is hard to be logical in those moments. So if you are dipping into that periodically, or you're in it right now, or, you know, you have been and you feel like, oh, I'm fine now, keep an eye on that kind of thing, and keep an eye on how you're taking care of yourself, because like I've had to learn, especially with all the traveling I do, and like this year, part of the reason I structured my schedule the way I did and cutting back on being gone so much is because if I'm alone for too long in like a hotel room in the middle of nowhere that I don't recognize, it's going to get dicey. And so you just have to, it's like anything, like with the exercise and food and whatever else, it's good to get into therapy, identify those triggers, identify situations that's going to aggravate that if you're prone to anxiety and depression, and stay away from them. And, you know, do everything you can to cut toxic situations and people out of your lives. Because sometimes there are people who trigger those feelings in you. Like, I realized when I was younger, like, oh, when I fight with my dad, like, things get really bad for me. And so now it's like, you know, we just, I got to keep things real mellow and okay, and keep the peace, because if it gets to that heightened state, it's going to trigger things in me that aren't accurate, like feelings that aren't true, or, you know, feelings of like worthlessness, or like you're unsupported, and it's going to bleed into my other relationships. And so just be as self-aware as you can be. And again, don't spare any like time or expense that you can when it comes to taking care of yourself, because it's just not worth trying to like muscle through it, you guys. It's just not.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And like identifying your triggers, and don't like judge your triggers.
Yes.
that's been, I continue to struggle with that, where I'm like, God, why can't I just handle being on the road every week? Why can't I just embrace being on a plane and being in this hotel room in the middle of wherever? Like, why does it have to make me feel so bad? And I like fought that for a long time, and I'm slowly just starting to be like, it's out of your control, because like, just turns out that's not who you are, and that's not something that makes you feel good. So you have to figure out a way to, like, you know, have better balance with that. But
yeah, at a certain point you have to let go of who you think you're supposed to be.
Like, yeah,
you just have to accept who you are. There are certain things, like, if you want to be somebody who runs three times a week, sure, of course, go run three times a week. That's a habit you can build up. But don't go like, well, I'm the type of person who's happy all the time. Like, no, you're not. You may not be that, okay? Yeah. And it's great, mind over matter and all that stuff, but you're not doing yourself any favors by trying to force yourself into some box so that you can present yourself to the world like you have a shiny Instagram filter on all the time.
Yeah. So just one more time, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. And if you want to feel like immediate camaraderie, please join our Self-Helpless Podcast Facebook group. You'll be welcomed with open arms. Everybody in there is so responsive and caring. Right? Like, they're right there, and like, everybody's so supportive, and you can be very honest in there, and a lot of friendships I feel like have been formed through there, and it's just a really positive place. So if you just need that instant gratification to know that you're not alone, boom. Join it, post something, we'll be at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you just need a place to post quotes. Oh my gosh.
We love the quotes. Keep the quotes coming.
It's such a good group. It's my new Facebook. Like, that's just where I go on Facebook, and it makes you feel good, which is like the anti Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty great.
I literally do nothing else as far as browsing except for that group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. We love it.
The best.
All right. Well, we love you guys so much. Do you have any dates to plug?
I do. This comes out on Monday, the 28th. So not this coming weekend, but the next weekend, I will be in Bellevue, Washington. I'm headlining The Parlor in Bellevue on Thursday, February 7th. And then the following weekend, I'm headlining the Comedy Underground in Seattle, Friday the 15th through the 17th. And Kane will be featuring for me those shows. Yay, it's a great time to come out. We're going to have a lot of fun. So all my Pacific Northwest people, come out to those shows. You can go to kelseycook.com for tickets.
Nice. And then this weekend, I am at the Tempe Improv in Arizona this Thursday through Saturday, the 31st through the 2nd. And then I will be headlining Helium in Portland the 14th through the 16th. So come out to those. Those are the next few weekends coming up.
We'll be so close to each other.
How close is Seattle and Portland?
3-hour drive.
Really? Oh, shut up.
You can meet in the middle.
Hey, that's kind of cool. I wonder if like our helpsters could like, some of you can like go to one of my shows, and then some of you can go to one of Taylor's shows.
You could see like so many of the people in the self-helpers group. That's amazing. Yeah, oh my gosh.
And then I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who's watched Love at First Cousin and contributed to that. That's been very sweet. I have loved receiving the messages and everything. You guys, whoever has contributed, will be receiving a personal thank you email and video from me very soon.
Awesome.
I just have to make it, and I'm not great with technology or talking at camera, so I will figure it out for you. Thank you so much. And then if you want to buy some Dick mugs, dicksbydelaney.com. Got the Dicksplosion mugs or the custom mugs available.
Fuck yeah.
Whatever you prefer.
Oh, yeah. Also, a new episode of Wrists of Fury came out, and it's with Josh Wolf, and oh my God, it's like one of my favorites so far. He's so funny. He was really high the whole time, and I had to like play in like a children's pirate costume for part of it.
You looked great.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It cut off all the circulation to my brain and to my eyeball. But anyway, it's really fun. So go check it out. The episode with Delaney and Taylor is coming out super soon.
Nice.
So that's on All Things Comedy's YouTube channel. If you just search Wrists of Fury. And I've got Wrists of Fury t-shirts at kelseycook.com as well.
Oh, that's
if you guys
awesome.
Want one of those. So.
Yeah, they're really
Yay.
Nice shirts.
Thanks. Oh, another thing I forgot to mention. Promise, last update for me. although the last couple episodes I've talked about how I'm pretty much off social media, I still love when our listeners tag me and stuff. Or like write personal messages. I still like see that stuff and usually am able to respond. So I don't want that to deter anybody from like tagging me in a quote that reminds me of them or shit like that. That's the only really reason I'm still on there. I just don't scroll or like usually see any other notifications. So
yeah.
Love you guys.
We love you. Subscribe on iTunes, give a 5-star rating and review. It's awesome. We appreciate it.
Boom.
Boom. All right. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye. You guys, we love you so much. Thank you for supporting Self Helpless. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at Self Helpless Podcast. And you can visit selfhelplesspodcast.com for all things Self Helpless. Learn about Patreon and how to sign up. Our merch is there. Information about our Facebook group and how to join. All the episodes you can listen to are on there. A little bit about the show. Our individual sites are linked there. And our contact information, email, and P.O. box if you want to send us some love letters. And you can follow us individually as well. I am at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And DelaneyFisher.com, where you can watch my docu-comedy special, Love at First Cousin, for free. And then DicksByDelaney.com if you want to buy some dick mugs.
Sweet. I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, KelseyCook.com for all tour dates and merch. And my album, Savor It, is still available to buy on iTunes. And you can watch Wrists of Fury, my foosball web series that has an episode of Taylor and Delaney on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel.
And I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram, and ttomcomedy.com for my Netflix special and all live tour dates.
Sweet. We love you guys
so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Why won't it